Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Wow, good morning, church. What an honor to be here. You may be seated. I am just truly humbled by just being invited and we have a saying within our own home and family that we don't go where we're just invited, we go where we feel sent. And there's without question that God has marked this week to be absolutely sacred. And I'm really moved by what I'm hearing, not just in your pastor's hearts, but what's in your heart and seeing what God's beginning to erupt throughout this region. How many know God's got some big plans for this region right here? God's got some strategy, some wisdom. And there's going to take a high level of execution. And I believe Kings is on the front line. If I could just be completely transparent with you, I am overwhelmed by the generosity and the gratitude extended towards us. I really appreciate that. But I think that what God is doing through Kings is a quality reflection of incredible leadership. And I think that of Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen. Come on, do you love your lead pastors this morning? Just honor you guys and thank you for your vulnerability and your transparency, the authenticity that you speak with. I truly value it. So, but I recognize that I'm in a room full of eagles and elites, and I've got a lot of new friends in the room. So let me introduce myself so you know where this crazy Mexican is coming from, okay? I grew up on the border of the United States and Mexico, and I promise you at one point you have heard of my city, but for all the wrong reasons, because nobody vacations in my city. You go there to visit family, or you go there to do something illegal. And sometimes that's one and the same thing, all right? Like, I'm not lying. If you heard about all the cartel wars, all the drug trafficking, all of that, those are all my cousins. So Christmas was fun, or the DEA was kicking in the front door and arresting an uncle. I mean, it's just, that was normal. And so my whole life, I grew up in that environment, so you can imagine by the age of 12, I found myself with a drug addiction, a lust problem, and an anger issue, but I loved to play basketball. And I would go to this church that had a gym, and they would open it up right before this youth service to get all the students to fill the gym and then transition to service. Well, in that transition, I would never say I'd sneak out. You know, I'd dip and leave and find somewhere else to play. But the youth pastor got involved in my life, and one day he came to me and he said, "Hey, do you want to go to church camp?" Now, church, honest to God, I had no idea what this was. I was a wicked kid, didn't know anything about this. He was like, "Hey, do you want to go to camp?" And I said, "Is there going to be hot girls at this camp? There'll be fine women at this camp." I was a 16-year-old little pervert. I had no idea what I was saying, all right? And so, but on the first night of that camp, I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I got called into ministry all in one night. The game-changing night for me. And I believe that could be the story of somebody's kid this week, of somebody's son or daughter who needs a powerful encounter with God. How many know heaven is going to punch a hole in the roof and invade in, transform, renew minds, strengthen hearts, and send them in their... Don't we need a generation that finds out their purpose at 15 and not when they think they are supposed to be living their life at 35? That all happens. So listen, if you have not registered anybody, if you are want to sow into it and register people who can't afford to come or be a part of it, do that now. Let's get generous, but let's get violent with our generosity and point it somewhere. Can we do that? I am living proof of this. And since then, I've really watched God take our yes, and I've been a missionary in Sri Lanka, took over a student ministry that we had a sweeping revival erupt in our student ministry. And really the last 14 years of my life, we felt really postured that our assignment was to be to raise up voices and leadership all across the nation that would be holy disruptions in every sphere of society. I'm talking about in government, medicine, education, business, come on, church, all of this. Listen, God is not dreaming of packed services. He's dreaming of transformed cities. And when God steps into a city, everybody knows. It makes no sense to have revival right here at Kings and the people across the street have no idea what's taking place. What makes sense is that cancer can be healed at the restaurant just like it can at the church. That addiction can be delivered off of people's life at the gas station just like it can at church. Are you with me? Does anybody else have faith for this? Don't tell me I've been praying more for your state and your region than you have. I don't think that's true. And so we feel real postured. And we do this by carrying a vision at Missions Me, Love Has No Limits, where our heart is to unite the global church for the salvation and transformation of nations. And I'll unpack a little bit more about what that looks like, but there's no way that I could do this on my own. I married the right one. We just celebrated 20 years of marriage last month. Yeah, come on, we got a picture of my family. 20 years of marriage to my wife, Erica. And then we have four amazing kids. And I brought the big guns with me this time. I got my son, Elisha, my oldest son. Elisha, would you stand up and say hi? This is my son, Elisha. He's single, but married to God. Single, but married to God. Don't come and DM him. All right, anyways. But we have four amazing kids. My wife actually wants more. I don't. So pray for her, not me. All right? So that's the way we need to handle that. But I'm so grateful for these, for the family, the marriage that I have. But I can't think of a better place to be than right here at King's in Wasilla, Alaska. Come on, anybody else excited about being in church? Now, this is my first time here, and I can already tell, but I'm just going to say it. I don't do no quiet church. All right, I don't do no quiet church. I believe a quiet church is a dead church. All right? I believe the Word of God deserves a response. Hello? All right? So I need you to talk back to the Word. Can you do that this morning? No, church, I say, can you do that this morning? All right, I need you to talk back to me. Look, do me a favor. Turn on your Bible and go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. While you're turning there, I feel like my assignment this morning, if not, has been the major theme of my personal study with God over the last several months. It has been on the subject of spiritual sight. I believe that getting our sight right is crucial, especially right now. And I'm not talking because we're in an election cycle. I'm not talking because we've got wars taking out lives and regions. I'm not talking because we have crisis from education to injustice to where we have food deserts where it used to be plenty. No, I'm talking about the people of God seeing the hand of God moving at all times, at all places, without hesitation. It is so important that you guard your sight. It is crucial that you protect the sight that God has given you. And I love this story because I believe God highlights this in 2 Kings 6. This passage, this text, this spiritual sacred scroll starts to tell us that there is a wicked king in the land of Syria. And especially in the middle of the night, he will come up with demonically inspired ideas on how to invade and conquer Israel. And so as soon as he gets one of these demonic ideas, he will then call his circle of advisors, his counselors, his generals, and call them together and deliver his plan. Well, when it left his mouth, it also ended up in a pair of ears he didn't expect, and that was the prophet Elisha. Now, Elisha would hear, the Bible says, time and again of these plans. And then he would warn the king of Israel and say, hey, you're about to be invaded and you need to send reinforcements and garrisons to this place so that you could fight off the surprise attack. And the Bible's very clear. It says time and again, Elisha would warn the king of Israel and they were able to fight off any attacks they came in. So after several failed attempts, time and again, this didn't just happen one time. This happened all the time. Time and again, after several failed attempts, this wicked king gets frustrated, calls all that same circle of advisors and says, all right, which of you is the traitor? Who's informing my plans to the king of Israel? And they're like, oh, it's not us, my lord the king. They have a prophet who hears everything you say, even in the privacy of your own bedroom. Come on, that's awkward. Can we just be honest here? That's just, the Bible be hitting you some kind of way sometimes, right? He hears everything you say, And so this king is like, well, tell me where this prophet is so that I may seize him. And they said, well, Elisha is at Dothan, and Dothan means cutting, which that's a totally different message. And it says that he sends an entire army, and that's where we're going to begin eating right here in verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 6. It says, so one night, the king of Syria sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more with us than against us. Come on, that's a good place to have church right there. There is more with us than against us. You do realize this army is still around. You do realize these angels are still employed. You do realize that this statement is true for them there. It is also true for us right now, that no matter what I'm battling against, no matter if I'm the only one against an entire army, there is more with us than against us. Then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes." Pray that with me. "Oh Lord, and let the man see." So the Lord opened this young man's eyes, and when he looked, he saw the hillside was full of chariots and horses of fire. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, please make our enemies blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness exactly as Elisha had asked. Man, there is so much here. We're going to taste it all like a bucket of chicken. But first, I'm from the hood, can you tell? But first, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Holy Spirit, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be flooding every heart right now. Lord, I thank you for every man and every woman. I speak to the atmosphere and the climates over their life, and I say they're full of faith, and they're full of hope, and they're full of peace, and they're full of joy, and I come against every limit, every restriction, every barrier, every lie, every demonic harassment I say is broken right now in Jesus' name. And I call every man and every woman, I call them into their season. I call you into your rhythm. I call you into your destiny. I call you into your identity. I don't care where you lack. I don't care if you're too young. I don't care if you're seasoned in life, that you would be full of strength and full of discernment and full of prophetic vision, that you would weaponize your people on a level like never before, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone shout it. Amen. 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 I feel like praying this morning. I want to speak to you from a subject, but before I give you my title, I know it's on the screen, but before I give you my title, I would like to preface it with this. I have no political, culture war propaganda with this title, all right? I just, no lie, when God gave us this message, I just thought, that's a dope title. We're going to call this message that, all right? But I want to talk to my family this morning about the purpose of staying woke. Now, I am not talking about a natural wokeness, Kings. I'm not talking about a wokeness that's natural where all you notice is the problem. And then you notice the problem, and then your immediately natural wokeness doesn't just notice the problem, it complains about the problem. Or let me just put this in the world, we just post about the problem. And because we feel like we did an awareness campaign that we've done our part. No. That is just natural wokeness. We've got a ton of that. We've got accounts, podcasts, YouTube channels, whole headlines, newsreels, social media feeds that are flooding us with problems. But when people are spiritually woke, the Bible says we were dead in our sins, but then we were raised to life in Christ Jesus. Friend, I didn't look at my family, my neighborhood, or even my country the same. I noticed problems, but I also knew the solutions. I saw what was hurt, and I know how to heal it. I saw what was struggling, I know how to strengthen it. Come on, I know where the demonic was, and I know how to deliver it. Is there anyone who knows what I'm talking about? That you have been woken up in your spirit and you refuse to accept things as normal and average, as things that this is the only way. What if we had a third great awakening? What if we won the 100,000 in Wasilla? What if we discipled Alaska and it inspired the nation and we began to aggressively take ground? We began to disciple in schools. What if we prayed again like we believed it? What if we prophesied with what we were feeling? What if we praised and cancer got healed, the dead were raised, lives were transformed? Friend, let me tell you what would happen. Everybody would wake up. Where's the holiness that hurts the eyes that comes on a 13-year-old who won't look at porn anymore? What happens when an addict get touched by the power of Jesus and they get completely delivered? They're waking up their family that if you can get changed, I need to get changed. We need woke people again. We don't have people who are letting CNN and Fox News and everything else tuck them back into bed of problems and issues. I don't mind headlines, but my faith doesn't come from what's on the headline. It came from the text. It came from the prayer closet. It came from extended fasting. It came from prayer. I'm not moved by newsreels, social media feeds. I'm not moved by opinion, but I am moved by the Spirit of Almighty God that keeps waking up. Fresh vision, fresh hunger, fresh strength. Is there any woke people in this room this morning? I know I'm not alone. We need to stay. And if we're going to do that, I want to give you several things. I remember one time I was coming out of the gym. Don't be that impressed. It was a dodgeball tournament. And, you know, CrossFitters, they love to tell you what gym they go to in the first 30 seconds of meeting them. And so I remember I was coming out of the gym, and we got eliminated from this dodgeball tournament early, and I get this text message on my phone. And I kid you not, it came in three text messages. You know people who send you like three texts when they could just be one? Yeah. These attention-seeking people who want to blow up your phone? Yeah. So first text message, right, was, yo, what's up? Kid you not, this is how I read it. First text message, yo, what's up? Next text message, is this Darnisha? Next text message, this Antoine from Saturday night. Now, honest, before Jehovah God, I know we were singing the names of God earlier, before Jehovah God, I meant to text back, this is not Darnisha. But the autocorrect on my phone hit back and said, this is Darnisha. To which Antoine hit back real quick. He was like, sup, girl? So I didn't have anything else to do. So I just texted back. I said nothing, emoji, 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 and baby, it was on. You're like, what kind of pastor is this? I'm your favorite. I am crazy. All right, I will have fun no matter what. I don't know what you're doing with your life, but I'm not gonna be bored in mine, right? So I just texted back, I said nothing, emoji, 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 and baby, it was on. He said, what you doing right now? I said, well, I just got out the gym. I'm kind of tired. He said, you should go to bed. I'm thinking, look at Antoine. 10 seconds into my life, speaking godly direction into my life. Yes, God. Right? So I remember I go home. I go to bed. I'm in bed. And I'll never forget. I'm falling asleep. And all of a sudden, I hear my phone go off. Pastor Daniel, just like the notification, just like that. Now, everybody in our family, on our team, everyone knows. You don't text Pastor Chris after 9 p.m., you are not getting a response until the next morning. I like my sleep. I guard my sleep, all right? And so, like, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear, and I'm thinking, that could only be one person. Sure enough, I grab my phone. It's Antoine. He said, sweet dreams, baby girl. So I grab my phone, and I am now laughing. I'm like, he didn't even know. Like, I am losing my mind. My wife, reading her Bible right next to me in bed, she's like, who's that? I said, that's Antoine. You ever try to make something sound normal when you know it's not going to hit that way? I was like, that's Antoine. She's like, who's Antoine? What does he want? I said, he want to talk to Darnisha. She said, who's Darnisha? I said, well, life's funny. I said, I guess I'm Darnisha. And she was like, closing her eyes, she's like, you're a married man pretending to be a woman talking to another man. I said, babe, when you say it like that, it sounds bad. This went on for 2 weeks, church. Oh, yes, it did. I'd have kept it going for 20 years. I'm telling you. It went on for 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, he would text, and I would sweet talk my way. I've been in youth ministry long enough to know how to move this needle here, right? So, like, I remember he would text back, and I would screenshot our conversation. And I would throw it up on all my social media platforms. And I never forget, people were following it. I had a hashtag that was followed, still is. It's called Days of Darnisha. Darnisha with an E, because she's a deep soul, independent woman. Anyways, but Darnisha. And people were following. I had people from all over the world going, keep it going, you're the best, keep it going. And I would have, Kings, I really would have. But I'll never forget, one day, Antoine, 2 weeks later, hit back and said, hey, I want to see you again. Yeah. You and I both know the next time he sees Darnisha, he gonna notice some things have changed. Maybe upgraded. I don't know. Maybe they got better. I don't know. But maybe. But things are not the same. He said, hey, I want to see you again. I knew that as soon as Antoine saw me, he would recognize I am not who I said I was. And I believe that's exactly what Satan is worried about right now. because God has been faithful to his word and he's exposed every lie. He has unveiled every plan. I'm telling you, he is no longer holding people back on the sidelines. He's raising up voices. He's raising up men. He's raising up women. And these people are pioneers who are breaking through in fresh realms with fresh vision, with fresh strategy. And they're not going to be moved by offense, and they're not going to be moved by opinions, and they're not going to be moved by what posts are being made and what scandals breaking out. They're going to be moved by one thing, and that is the wind of Almighty God blowing on their life, because they know if I'm going to stay aware, if I'm going to stay intentional, if I'm going to stay dangerous for good, then I've got to be awake. I cannot afford to fall asleep, not on this hour. I can't afford to take naps on my spiritual life. There are no vacations from God anymore. There are not good days and bad days. They all belong to him now. And when you wake up out of your complaining, and when we wake up out of all the obstacles, when we are done being overwhelmed by all the rain and the minutia and the crud and the complexities and the polarities and the personalities, friend, we are going to be left found that we were lovers of God, and we loved his word, and we loved his kingdom, and we loved his presence. And what we wanted was a great awakening that shook the earth again. The only way we do that is we stay woke. Here's three things if you're going to stay woke. Number one, these are three things that you get to declare with your life. I believe in declarations. Number one is, I'm ahead. Listen, church, I got good news for you. You are not behind. You are ahead. I have met too many believers who think somehow the devil knows more about their life than they do, which is not even biblically sound or true. The devil's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not any of that. You know what he is? He is a studier of people, and he recognizes certain spiritual traits and characteristics that come on people and the church. Let me put it to you like this. He probably looks at your life and says, that's the same way that William J. Seymour got the Azusa Street Church to pray. And what ended up happening was the greatest Pentecostal movement that is still going to this day, started in 1904 and has wrapped itself multiple times around the globe. They used to pray like that, like they do at King's here in Wasilla. Or the way she's worshiping, that's the same way that Catherine Kuhlman or Amy Simple McPherson used to worship, and it loosed a healing revival and anointing that is still being claimed to this day. You see, the way that that man is leading with integrity, it's the same way that Dr. Martin Luther King or maybe Wilberforce or maybe Smith Wigglesworth, they used to pray just like that. It used to have integrity just like that, and it cost me, and he is studying us, and he is scared out of his mind. I got good news for you. Hell is nervous, and heaven is excited right now. Because not only is Kings dreaming of Alaska, but we're thinking about global domination in the kingdom of God to once again touch nations like never before once again. We need to stay woke, and we can say, I'm ahead. The Bible says time and again, Elisha would warn the king of Israel. Imagine if we had intercessors who prayed and knew where the next mass terror attack would happen. And they got in touch with the right authorities and said, show up at this day, at this time. They'll be meeting all these names, and you'll find all the things that would convict them of this crime. And all of a sudden, the authorities give you a straight, direct line to their heads of departments simply because we've got prophets, we've got intercessors, we got seers, we got those who hear. Friend, we would shut down cartels. We would shut down corruption. We would shut down lies. We would shut down trafficking. And all we had to do was believe, I'm ahead. You know, I'm not talking about being the first to know on some multi-level marketing program. I'm not saying I was the first one in the room, because I've watched a lot of people that are ahead, but they're ahead of God. No, let me help you out. Let me help you out. If you get somewhere before God does, that does not make you early. That makes you wrong. It is real quiet up in this Spirit-filled church all of a sudden. If you get somewhere before he told you to go, because there were certain lessons you needed to learn along the journey, and there were certain characteristics you need to build and wrinkles you need to iron out and edges you need to smooth, but because you wanted to shortcut your way, because we live in a system and a society that wants to out-hustle, out-grind, out-build, out-run, outlast everybody else and get to it first. I gotta have a milli before I'm 40. The truth is, the only people who do that are people who are sugar rushes, flashes in the pan, here today, never heard from again. Let it be said that we didn't just have the ability to show up on time, but we had the ability to have endurance and sustain. And the transformation we were believing of was not just something we touched in prayer, but we were living it in reality to this day. I'm ahead. He says, time and again, he would warn the king. This didn't just happen one time, it happened all the time. We have a holy, unfair advantage. Imagine being in any athletic sport and you knew the team's plays before they ran it. You would guarantee wins. Ask the Patriots. The Astros. I'm preaching better than some of you saying amen right now. I'm telling you this because I am here to prophetically declare of your life. You're not done. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're ahead. And there are things that God is trying to produce through your, let me help you out, generational revival, generational transformation. What we're going to see happen this week is not just about the student in the room. It's the great-grandchildren that aren't even born yet. And some assignments and visions are not meant for our lifetimes, but they are through our lifelines. And if we start the introduction of God's steps into our life now, then what we will have is third, fourth, fifth generations who never wavered, who caught a greater anointing, who sustained more, and that was until the Lord Jesus came back. Friend, it's time. This is not paupers church. This is not poverty church. This is not, this is kings and queens who walk on this ground, and kings and queens are always ahead. I'm ahead. Here's the second thing you can say with life. Number two. Number one, I'm ahead. Number two, I'm in ambush. When you live under the authority of the kingdom of heaven, you understand that you are never outnumbered. So then you know that if something goes off in your life that was unscripted, unplanned, uncalendared, unprepared for, unforeseen, you know that you are the ambush. We feel ambushed by storms, weather. We feel ambushed by, didn't know it was going to cost that much. We feel ambushed by family drama, stresses, tensions, issues. Oh, we feel, the truth is, you're not in the trouble you think you're in. You're not being tested with trouble, church. You're being trusted with trouble. No. I want to reframe some minds here, some hearts. Maybe give you different language for your prayer life, because the truth is, the trouble God is bringing to your life was assigned to you so that you could heal it, you could deliver it, you could strengthen it, you could speak to it. Jesus didn't run away from storms. He either spoke to it or he walked on it. And let it be said that right here at Kings, that we weren't busy running and hiding and making excuses and lowering the bar. Baby, we took out our giants because we practice on our lions and bears. We weren't intimidated by walls, so I'm not intimidated by furnaces of fire. I'm here to be ahead, but I'm also here to be an ambush. I got news for you. You're not being ambushed. You are the ambush. You are not the minority. You are always the majority. You are not the threatened. You're the threat. Hell has no response against, because you are a dream with breath, you are a revival with legs, and you are here to stay woke so that you can produce the kingdom purposes on the earth. Where are the woke ones at this morning? I love this because Elisha makes this declaration. Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. This is his prayer. You do realize this is the only prayer he offers in this situation, which, believe it or not, I am Professor Estrada. Let me just highlight something for you, all right? Because I've taught just about everything from basic Christian doctrine to generational discipleship. I mean, all of it. And I can tell you, I am obsessive about what the word says. I need to know what it says, because it's the word that builds the framework. Can I take this a little deeper? Is this okay? It's okay. You know, there are people who live with a different type of framework. They let their experiences do their talking. And then they take their experience and build their framework around the word. That's backwards. I am called to know the word so that when something happens in my life, I already have the filter and the framework set up that I can see past the issue, right? I see past the aggressor and I see the spirit. I'm not battling flesh and blood. Okay, let me take this one more level. We live off of secondhand revelation too much. All right, when you were in the garden, who did the enemy come for? All right, God comes to Adam and says, Adam, you can eat from any tree, just not this one. You remember this? Then that's firsthand revelation, right? Eat from any tree, just not this one. When he hears it from God, firsthand revelation. Adam, being a good husband, goes and tells his wife, honey, God says we can eat from any tree, just not this one. When he shares it, it is secondhand revelation. And we have a whole generation of church-going people who live off of Sunday mornings, podcasts, YouTube channels, 60-second clips on social media, and then wonder why they don't walk in supernatural authority like so-and-so, because they're too busy drinking from a secondhand well and not firsthand. Am I talking to anybody this morning? This ain't even in my notes. I just had good coffee this morning. That's it. It's time that we don't just live ahead, but I'm an ambush. So he prays this. I think it's important to know what the Bible says. It's also important to know what it does not say. Did you notice what Elisha did not pray about? He is surrounded by the greatest military force on the planet at this time, the Syrian army. And he doesn't even pray, Lord, are you with me? Lord, are you gonna deliver us? Lord, are you gonna protect me? He doesn't pray this. He prays one thing, and it's not even about the army. Like, he's like, you're not even the problem. You're not even the issue. How many know God has different problems than we do? Gideon's got 32,000 members in his army, and God's like, that's too many. God has different problems. And he looks, and he says, that's not the problem. The problem is my blind servant. He does not see what I see. So he prays prayer, open his eyes. And then he sees, and I'm sure his countenance, his cadence, his approach to the situation completely transformed. Because now he sees that the hilltops and the mountainsides full of chariots of horses and fire. And then it caught me thinking, isn't this what Jesus is doing right now? Romans chapter 8, it says, he is forever seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Why? So that we would discern the times and the seasons, so that we would have the right language, so we wouldn't be distracted with models and efforts that don't produce, or they produce small harvest, not full harvest. Are you following me? Come on, church, talk back to me. I told you, I need you. I'm telling you this morning because I believe that I was not just invited. I believe I was sent. I believe I'm here to shake myself and us. I cannot just live ahead. I have to be in ambush. You do realize spiritual sight is everything. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the God of this age has blinded the minds of the people. But God, watch this, but God sent his son that he might restore sight to the blind. It's all about spirit. One time I was sitting in my office, and this woman came in. Out of nowhere, this woman. She barged in. I'm behind my desk. My door's closed. My assistant's sitting outside, and this woman comes. She goes, where's Pastor Chris? I need to talk to Pastor Chris. Where's Pastor Chris? And my assistant, she's from Latin America, so she don't play no games, all right? She's like, where's Pastor Chris? I need to talk to Pastor Chris. Where's Pastor Chris? And my assistant's like, hey, what you coming in here acting all crazy? What you want? Talk to Pastor Chris, folk. And I because she's a thug, so... Like, I remember, I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing all this commotion, this yelling, this shouting, so I get up and do what any man of God does in this situation. I go to my door, and I lock my door. I locked the door. But because I'm Hispanic, I'm Mexican, we're nosy, so I put my ear to the door to see what was going on, because I want to know what's up, right? And she's like, I need to talk to Pastor Chris. Where's Pastor Chris? And we said, listen, she's like, what you want to talk to Pastor Chris? Coming in here acting all crazy, yelling at the top of your volume. What you want to come in here and talk to Pastor Chris for? And she said, a voice came into my car and gave me an address. I don't even know who this voice is. And told me to come to this address and told me that a Pastor Chris has a message for me. Now, I'm behind the door. And I'm like, really? Because when I prayed this morning, you brought nothing up about crazy women dive bombing this office talking about, where's Pastor Chris? I need to talk to Pastor Chris. I need to know where's Pastor Chris. You said nothing about that. And then I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not ready. You know what he responded? He said, that's okay, son, because I'm ready. How many know? And then he said, when I'm ready, you're always ready. And I'm ready. And I think we're too addicted to being ready. I think we want right timing, right money, right scenarios, right relationships. But God never promised you'd be ready, baby. He said, I will never leave you. I will be with you. He said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man. The things that God has planned for those that love him. He said, don't worry about what you'll say or what you'll do in that hour, because I'll tell you what to say and I'll tell you what to do. We're ready. Sight is everything. This woman comes in. I said, she's like, please let me talk to Pastor Chris. I said, fine. I opened the door. I'll never forget. She comes in and I said, ma'am, I'm here. Come on in. She comes in. She sits down, making a long story short, she tells me, I just was served papers for my fourth divorce. I have children out of all of these marriages. And then she says this, and this is the same thing that happened to my mom, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and all the women in my family. And I immediately knew, this is a generational curse. And so I told her, I said, ma'am, I believe that you were sent here not because you were just given, a voice came in, and I'll tell you who that was later, but I believe you were sent here because God wants you to give away what you don't have yet, and that's forgiveness. Jesus is offering you forgiveness of your sins. I don't care how dirty your sin is, I don't know how messed up you are or how broken it is inside. He wants you, and he will give you and extend mercy to you, and then he will empower you to live the life that he lived. But it starts with first, I need your forgiveness. And then what I'm gonna have you do, this is what I told you, then I'm gonna have you forgive all the men that hurt you and the men that hurt the women in your life. When I said forgive the men that hurt the women in her life, she started manifesting a demon right there on my couch in my office. Now, my assistant was in there because when she walked in, I was like, you come too, in case anything pops off and, you know, need you some day one activity, baby. So we like in there, this lady, like, I said, would you forgive all the men that have done this to all the women in your line? She's like, nah, ah, and she starts manifesting this demon. I mean, it's like, I'm like, God, I don't have time for this. Like, I got emails I need to respond to. I got meetings that are going to back up. I got calls I need to make. Ah, and now she's like drooling and demon juice is going everywhere. And like, I'm somewhat of a germaphobe. I don't like people touching my food. Come on, anybody else? Don't touch my food. If you touch my food, that became your food. Be blessed. Right? Like, I don't drink after her. I'd kiss my wife in tongues, but I will not drink after her. I would not do that. All right? I have a standard, not a spirit, and I expect you to know the difference. All right? So, like, and she's like, on the floor, and I'm praying, come out in the name of Jesus. You will loose this woman. I declare free. I'm like dealing with this demon, and my assistant, she's in the back. She's like, yes, God. Yes, God. Like my backup intercessor, right? This demon's not doing anything. Just, she's slithering around like a snake, knocking over my coffee table, moving furniture. And I'm like, you will stop right now. And then all of a sudden, my assistant went from praying, my assistant went from praying in English to praying in Spanish. Let me tell you something about Latin folks. When this thing switches from English to Spanish, you better get out the way. Because even Jesus himself is like, this one's triggered. Get back. Michael, Gabriel, that's how you tore a wing off last time. I had to tape it back on. Right? Like, and all of a sudden, my assistant goes, yes, God, in the nombre de Jesus, de fuego, fuego de Dios, levántate, levántate, levántate. This demon didn't have a prayer. This lady just went, boom, called out on the floor, has a visitation from Jesus, gets saved, and is a part of our church to this day. Why would that happen? Because, baby, I'm not just a head. I'm an ambush. I couldn't believe when I told her who the voice was, tears coming down her face, light coming back to her soul, eyes full of his love. It'll mark me to the day I die. Why am I telling this? You're an ambush. I don't care if you're a stay-at-home mom or a single parent, you're an ambush. I don't care what divorce you're on, you're an ambush. I don't care what background. I don't care what you don't have. I'm looking at what you have left. You're an ambush. Are you following me? All right, let me give you this last point. I got so much more to preach on that, but we'll just keep moving forward here. Come back this week. Come back this week, y'all, all right? Number three. I'm ahead. I'm an ambush. Number three, I'm an answer. How many of you know I'm just tired of everybody telling the church they're the problem? We are not the problem. It's like telling, oh, the problem with this generation. I get parents that come up to me after I preach at conferences or conventions or stadiums with youth. People come up to us and go, you know, the problem with this generation. And I'm like, let's just stop right there. You know, I'm like, you're telling me the problem with this generation. My question is, who raised them? I had a mom come and complain to me. She's like, ever since this kid been coming to my youth, your youth ministry, and he been here, and we had all this and all that. And I'm like, he's been with us for 6 months, but he spent 16 years with you. I'm just looking at the common denominator here. I'm making parents mad. I don't know if you could take up an offering after this. Why am I saying this? Because I care deeply for your kids, and I have prayed long, and I have practiced, and I have measured, and I have studied, and I have readied myself for this week, and I want your babies, I want your generation, I want your children to come and have an encounter with God, and it's no respecter of age. I want you to get into your own fresh encounter, and let's see God move. I'm an answer. You know, the church has never been the problem. problem with the church. The church, you read out of a historical book. It's not a historical book. These are not writings. This is revelation. There is more accuracy in the Bible than any book ever written. I mean, it's wild, but people are like, well, the problem with the church, you know, the church is never the problem, because when wars break out, everybody leaves. Guess who stays? The church. When disease breaks out, guess who closes and everybody leaves? Everybody, not the church. When the world wanted a better system of government, the church gave it to them. When the world wanted better hospitals, the church gave it to them. When the world wanted a better education system, the church was the one that went in and built in the infrastructure and gave it to them. Friend, the church has never been the problem. We've been the answer. We're the only thing, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to usher in a great return of Jesus. We might as well start believing. You know what? I actually am the answer. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. Our job is to disciple nations. Our vision at Love Has No Limits is unite the global church for the salvation and transformation of nations. And historically, what we do is we would, internationally, we'd have a bigger footprint because we would practice in nations, and the Lord would cause us to focus on a nation, and then we would mass mobilize like armies of missionaries to go into nations and begin to saturate it with targeted outreach. And we would do things like the last moment we had was in Peru, where we brought 10,000 missionaries from 43 different nations, 150 plus organizations represented, to pound ground in the nation of Peru. And I wish I had time to tell you about everything that took place, but we went into 3,000 high schools in 5 days, did with preaching Jesus, with an altar call, and anyone, in a follow campaign for anyone that did made an eternal decision. We did 47 citywide water wells, not the little village ones everybody sees, whole cities getting fresh drinking water. I'm talking about millions of pairs of shoes distributed, 1 million pounds of food, 1 million pounds of blankets. We did 14 medical clinics in 12 different cities and soccer stadiums. The president called us and was like, I can't have you love my nation more than me. And he commissioned 1,000 doctors to come alongside our fly-in team. I mean, it's wild. We had the government flying our missionaries in their C-130s and their Huey helicopters to get to ministry sites fast and all throughout the nation. There wasn't a city that wasn't touched. There wasn't a style or a denomination of church that wasn't activated. And in 7 days, we watched 1.1 million people give their lives to Jesus and still be found in a local church 4 weeks later. We filled 10 stadiums on the same night at the same time without advertising one name, not one woman, not one man, not one band. And God was still able to produce a harvest. We were finishing this runway, and then all of a sudden we get this invitation from the vice president of Ecuador. Would you come and make this the next nation? Well, we were really sensing something, but we decided to take the meeting. We're in this meeting on Zoom, and we end the meeting as he extended the national invite. As soon as we kill the Zoom link, it's like the Spirit of God, boom, sat on us. I don't know how else to say it. Just came in the room. We're all on our face. We're like, God, what's going on? And God really spoke clear to us this day. He said, I'm reassigning your vision, this vision. We said, okay, Lord, what are you trying to do? He said, I want to make an aggressive move on America. Now, this was the end of 2018. We're like, okay, Lord, where do you want to start? He's like, Los Angeles. We're like, you mean Dallas. Like Tulsa, somewhere in the South, Bible friendly, you know? And God said, no, I want to start in LA, because if it works in Los Angeles, it'll work anywhere. And I want to cause my church to run to starting lines, not finishing lines. And I want to give proof to America that I'm with her. We said, okay, Lord, now how many know when God speaks in spirit, you don't respond in logic? Come on, ask Zechariah. God says, hey, your wife's going to have a baby. And he's like, nah, she old. She too old. Extra old. There's no way. You may read it. It's the Chris Estrada version, but this is what he's saying. It's like, she's old. And what does God do? He silenced them. Shut up. For 9 months until the baby's born. Why? Because he responded in logic to what God spoke in spirit. So we're like, okay, we got a fear of the Lord thing here. So we're going to set a date on our calendar. We're going to buy the website. We're going to set a date. We set the date for July 2020. I'm going to just say the date one more time. Some of you might be getting over it. July of 2020. Of course, we know March of 2020, everything went to a bucket of suck. And chaos wrapped itself around the globe and began to shake everything and disrupt every model in our life. And now we're sitting in March. We're like, God, do we cancel? Do we postpone? Do we reschedule? What do we do? And God interrupts our thoughts almost in a rebuking way. He says, you are not allowed to give some budgeted version of my heart. You are only allowed to release the full version of my heart on the city. We're just like, okay, Lord, tell us what to do. We are clearly outside. This is unfamiliar territory. We need to follow the cloud. God says, I want you to do everything I tell you to do. We're going to build the model. I said, okay. He says, start by gathering the church. So we gathered 552 senior pastors from every denomination represented in a hotel ballroom in downtown LA, seated them with our heart, our history, and a little bit of the vision, and they all responded with, this isn't something you should do. You have to do this, and you have to do this now. We've never seen desperation like this come on our city. We said, okay. We went back, Lord, what do we do? We got momentum. He says, and I'm telling you, this is in order. He says, start by paying off the medical debt of the city. I'm like, what? And we found the impoverished neighborhoods. We were able to watch God dissolve $47 million worth of medical debt for 23,000 families below the poverty line. We were just paying it off and watching as they got letters in the mail saying, your medical debt's been paid off, no strings attached. And if you need anything, contact Pastor so-and-so who's within a 10-mile radius of your geotag location. Why? Because we want to platform the local church, not ask the local church to platform us. Church, I have done 70 stadiums around the world. I've never preached in one. I don't need to. Why? Because I want God's man or God's woman to be the voice. I don't need to be in the spotlight. I'm pretty good in the shadows. I can hold the mic, but I can also hold the door open for somebody else. I just want to play my role. I don't need the spotlight. I don't need accolades. I don't need more titles. I don't need any more. What I need is to be faithful. And so we're watching as God starts to erupt blessing and breakthrough and favor. And then after we've seen the medical debt miracle, then God's like, go after foster care. This is a big piece right here. But you realize that Los Angeles has the largest, at this time, had the largest foster care system in America, had 40,000 kids trapped in the system. You do realize there are over 67,000 churches recognized by the IRS right now. There's just under 250,000 kids in the foster care system. This is a problem we could have solved a long time ago. But we've been asleep. We haven't been woke. So we said, God, not on our watch. We went to the city through a lot of favor, making a long story short. We watched as God began to get us into the right rooms. We said, what do we need? And they said? They said, could you generate leads? We need families who are willing to take in these kids. We said, absolutely. We didn't have no money. We'd have nothing. We just put fire on the vision and put in front of the church. Thousands of leads started to pour in within the first 30-day cycle and have continued to for the last 3.5 years. It has punched a hole literally in the whole foster care system. And what we have seen is the city was so moved by the leadership here that they called us into a special city council session and said, we have failed at allowing the faith-based community to be a part of steering the needs of the city. So we are redacting every policy that says the faith-based community can't be involved. And we are creating 4 advisory positions of senior pastors to come in and tell us where to put the sources, where to put the resources, and where to put any friends. That's revival too. I know everybody wants to flop around on the ground and get their prophetic word, but when you're discipling cities and when you're watching kids who don't have to pop around from house to house with only a trash bag full of 5 sets of clothes, that's revival too. Then the Lord said, go after the men. You need a call. God actually said this. He said, America needs its families back. And if we're going to get our families back, we have to get our fathers back. And if we're going to get our fathers back, how many know we have to call them into authentic manhood and biblical fatherhood? We hosted a historic men's gathering. We had 100,000 men complete a 30-day Brave Co challenge to journey them to biblical, authentic fatherhood and manhood. I mean, this is in between medical brigades and clinics. This is in between sports clinics. 33 million pounds of food being shipped in every week, distributed through these 500-plus churches. This is in between giving out $10 million worth of gifts in kind. That's like your bed, your dressers, your fridge, your appliances. I mean, we were just blitzing the entire city. And then God says, it's time for the stadium moment. Just sit back and wait for this. He says, it's time for the stadium moment. So we put a high 6-figure amount down on the Memorial Coliseum, which is the iconic Olympic stadium. And they said, we inked the deal. 47 days before we're supposed to host this moment, our stadium moment, go after a harvest. The stadium called and said, we're sorry, we have to dissolve your contract. We're like, why? And they said, there's a clause in the city that we have neighboring stadiums. There's literally a stadium across the street. We can't have 2 mass events at the same time. And they inked their contract minutes before we did with you. So it's first come, first serve. So we have to dissolve yours. You can't host your event here. We're like gutted. What? I mean, it was like, what are we going to do? We've been casting a vision with a stadium moment. Now we have no stadium. 4 hours later, we get a call from SoFi Stadium. This is the brand new Rams Charger Stadium that was just built. There hasn't been a first live event of its kind in it until us. And then all of a sudden they said, listen, we've been watching everything you've been doing, the medical debt, the food distribution, the foster care. Oh yeah, we went to all 35 state penitentiaries and planted a church there. I mean, we just blitzed the whole region. They're like, we love it all. Do you want to host your event in our stadium? And we're like, well, you know, your price was here and we're a missions org. We're like down here, you know, and we also had third right of refusal. That's what you told us. We were third in line for the date we want and need. And they said, don't worry about the amount. We'll get an NDA. You can never publicly or privately disclose how much you paid. But secondly, they said, we'll call the first two people, which never happens in the industry. Once a date's locked, it's locked. And so they call the first person. I'll never forget. We had to journey them through the vision. First person, hey, Taylor Swift. We know you have Eras Tour coming up, but would you be willing to move it? Because, and then we walk her through the whole vision. Taylor, would you move your date? She says, absolutely. And Taylor moves her date. Then the next person they called, hey, Kenny Chesney, country music star. Kenny, we have this going on in the city. It's pretty special. Would you move your date? And Kenny's like, absolutely. And Kenny moves his date. Then they called us, hey, Love Has No Limits. Do you want SoFi Stadium? We were like, yes, 100%. Absolutely. The next day, we get a call from some guys who started a small music festival, some of you might have heard of, called Coachella. And they said, we've been watching everything you're doing, same thing. Could we run all your audio, visual, lighting, and streaming capacity for you in the stadium? We're like, I don't need to pray about that. That's God. You feel that? He's here. He's here. Ooh, he's here. You feel that? And then they said, who's the lineup? And we said, well, we're really posturing a lot of great conversation. We'll be able to feed those names to you shortly. How many know that's code for we're praying and we don't know? They said, well, you have 30 days. Well, sure enough, 30 days comes. And we had been praying really targeted. But how many know this is Los Angeles? I can go get the top Christian artists and worship leaders. Those are friends. But the truth is, the only people that show up to that are Christians. And I don't want to miss this sacred window with God's resources and momentum and just fill the stadium with a bunch of believers who already know Jesus and take pictures and video of ourselves and act like we did something when we did absolutely nothing. I said, we need to get radical. Let's get wild. Who is a tier one influencer, a global icon that's a Christian? Well, how many know that's a short list? And then not afraid to share their faith. Then we're crossing names off the list. And then they're like, who's available? Well, it came to 30 days, and the guys from Coachella are like, look, we need to know. We said, could you give us the miracle of one more day? These are Jewish men. They understand the Esther miracle request of one more day. Could you give us one more day? They said, well, you have one more day. We didn't sleep at all that night. We had targeted our prayers on one voice, one person. And I'm telling you, I probably was in the corner of my house just in the fetal position, breathing through a paper bag, breathing in tongues. Like, I'm just, like, I was, it was like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be like Fyre Festival 2.0. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Sure enough, at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we get a FaceTime. It's Justin Bieber. And he's got tears coming down his face. And he says, I just got out of prayer and God spoke to me. He told me, I've been watching what you've been doing. And he told me, I'm supposed to stand with the Church of Los Angeles and I'm supposed to utilize my influence across social media in the industry to move people to be a part of this and get them on the campus of local churches to serve so they can get a wristband for 4 hours and then come in the stadium and hear about Jesus. And so Justin's like, hey, can I serve your vision? And number two, if you don't have your lineup, can I help you build your lineup? And we were like, JB, anytime your friends want to be our friends, we might feel God about that. I don't know. We just might feel God about that, right? And sure enough, he gets on another phone, starts to build a lineup like Chance the Rapper and Jaden Smith and Tori Kelly. All these artists started coming together for free. And God started building. They started posting. People started watching. People came into SoFi. All you had to do was serve a minimum of 4 hours. Why? Because we knew there were people who would never darken the door of a local church, but they would step foot inside of a stadium, and the only way to get there is to go do social good. They would get a wristband, and that wristband, after 4 hours of serving, would get them into the stadium. We filled the stadium, but when we turned the live stream on, 500 million people watched that one night, and it was tailored as a gospel presentation, and people got healed, people got radically saved, people rejected their wickedness. I'm telling you, we had like Conor McGregor and his family in the front row. We had the Los Angeles Lakers. We had the Golden State Warriors. We had all the Kardashians. We had the top 200. So I'm looking. We had the D'Amelios, everybody you can think of. Top 200 social media accounts, all coming to help extend and build God's vision called Love Has No Limits. 32 out of the 34 mayors, the Jewish elite of all the producers for the top production houses, from Warner Brothers to Universal to Netflix to Marvel, everyone you can think of is in this stadium, and I'm watching tears come down actors and artists' eyes that you would never believe, that have started a journey with Jesus and are being actively discipled right now, that are being mentored, that are serving in their local churches, that are being built up, and they have not lost their influence. Why? Because God is waking up His church to fresh strategies and fresh momentum, and we're gonna be able to say, I'm ahead, I'm an ambush, and I'm an answer. You know, when you're touching the city, and it's not just the church. It's a different playbook. It's a different strategy. It's a different demand. It's a different rhythm. It's not just how can we pack it out on Sundays. It's how can we make every day for it impossible to not people feel not loved. We want them to feel loved by God every day in this city. We want them to feel touched by the presence of God every day in this city. We start dreaming, talking, planning completely different. We didn't just stop in LA. We went to Houston. We mobilized 20,000 missionaries in LA. We've now done 50,000 in Houston. Does help when you fill the Toyota Center, not just for one night, but two nights. That's where the Houston Rockets play. Helps when Tim McGraw and Parker McCollum and Connor Smith and Toby Wigway and Faruqo come. South Florida, we've just launched in South Florida with Miami-Dade, Broward, and West Palm Beach County. And we're watching as God is getting to interrupt some of these cities with His plans. We're going to Chicago next. Then we'll go to New York City. And then after that, God told us these cities would be practice because He wants to call 1 million missionaries after New York. He wants to call 1 million missionaries from the nations to America and raise up 1 million out of America. And God wants to deploy a 2 million member army on the top 50 cities in America on the same day at the same time. And I feel like there's going to be cities beyond that 50, like Wasilla, like Anchorage, that are going to be primed and ready and postured on the front lines of what God wants to do. It's time. What if we could change the headlines? What if we could live the impossible? What if we're doing what the world can't do, except we have God? Friend, we would stay woke.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.